ओम अज्ञानोति मिरांध्वस्य ज्ञानांजना शलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्री गुरवे नमः। श्री चैतन्य मनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूप कदामहं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकम्। वन्दे अहं श्रीगुरौ श्रीयुतपदकमलं श्रीगुरुन् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगण रघुनाथान्वितं त्वं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजन सहितं कृष्ण चैतन्य देवं श्रीराधा कृष्णपदान् सहगण ललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितंश्च। हे कृष्ण करुणा सिन्धो दीनबन्धु जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिकाकान्त राधाकान्त नमस्तुते। तप्त काञ्चन गौराङ्गी राधे वृन्दावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये। वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृन्द। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे।
श्रीमद् भागवतम फर्स्ट कैंटो 16th चैप्टर हाउ परीक्षित रिसीव्ड The Age of Kali, Text 2, Sha Uttarasya Tanayam Upayema Iravatim Janame Jayadim Chaturas Tashyam Utpadayat Shutan। स उत्तरस्य तनयाम् उपयेम इरावतीम् जनमे जयादिंश्चतुरास् तस्याम् उत्पादयत् सुतान्।
ट्रांसलेशन बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस श्रील प्रभुपाद। King Parikshit married the daughter of King Uttar and begot four sons headed by Maharaj Janamejaya. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Maharaj Uttar was the son of Virat and maternal uncle of Maharaj Parikshit. Iravati, being the daughter of Maharaj Uttar, was the cousin sister of Maharaj Parikshit. But cousin brothers and sisters were allowed to get married if they did not belong to the same gotra or family. In the Vedic system of marriage, the importance of the gotra or family was stressed. Arjuna also married Subhadra, although she was his maternal cousin's sister. Janmejay, one of the Rajarshi kings of the famous son of Maharaj Parikshit. His mother's name was Iravati, or according to some, Madhravati. Maharaj Janmejaya, we got two sons of the name Jatanika and Shankukarna. He celebrated several sacrifices in the Kurukshetra pilgrimage site. And he had three younger brothers named Shrutasena, Ugrasena and Bhimasena too. He invaded Takshala, Ajanta, and he decided to avenge the unlawful curse upon his great father, Maharaj Parikshit. He performed a great sacrifice called Sarpajagya to kill the race of serpents, including the Takshak, which had beaten his father to death. On request from many influential demigods and sages, he had to change his decision to kill the race of snakes. But despite stopping the sacrifice, he satisfied everyone concerned in the sacrifice by rewarding them properly. In the ceremony, Mahamuni Vasudeva also was present, and he personally narrated the history of the Battle of Kurukshetra before the king. Later on, by the order of Vasudeva, his disciple Vaishampayan narrated before the king the subject matter of Mahabharata. He was much affected by his great father's untimely death and was very anxious to see him again. And he expressed his desire before the great sage Vasudeva. Vasudeva also fulfilled his desire. His father was present before him, and he worshipped both his father and Vasudeva with great respect and pomp. Being fully satisfied, he most munificently gave charities to the brahmanas present at the sacrifice. So, Janmejaya is being described here. Actually, a few great personalities have been mentioned in this chapter in the line of the Pandavas. Parikshit Maharaj was the son of Abhimanyu and Uttara. Uttara was the daughter of King Virat, and King Virat had another son. His name was Uttar. Uttar and Uttara. And here it has been described that Uttar's daughter, Iravati or Madhravati, was married to King Parikshit. So although Parikshit and Iravati were actually cousins, but when they are not in the same gotra or in the same family, the cousins could get married. Like cousins from the mother's side could get married, but not from the father's side. The father's side would mean same family. So those cousins cannot get married according to the Vedic system. But from the mother's side, that means if they belong to different families, which are known as gotra. Actually, these gotras or lines, family lines, are coming from different sages. There is Kashyap Muni, and there is a line from Kashyap Muni that is coming, that is called Kashyap Gotra. There is Vatsayan, from him comes the Vashya Gotra, the Vashava. So this way, the different sages have their family lines, and they're still existing. In India, practically every Hindu family belongs to some gotra or other. But we also have a very special gotra. What is our gotra? Our gotra is Achyuta gotra. Achyuta is the name of Krishna, so we are coming from Krishna's line. Our family is Krishna's family. So ours is Achyuta gotra. In this gotra only, cousins can get married, not in other gotras. So, Parikshit was married to Uttar's son, Iravati, is Uttar's daughter, Iravati. And through Parikshit and Uttar, Parikshit had four sons through Iravati, headed by Janmejaya. Janmejaya was the eldest son, then there were Shrutasena, Ugrasena, and Bhimasena. He had three other brothers. Now, when Janmajaya got to know that his father was beaten, his father was cursed by a brahmana and was beaten by a snake, Daksha, to death, then he became very, very angry. And he decided, this is the anger of a kshatriya, he decided to destroy the entire race of snakes. And he performed a sacrifice called Sharpo Ninhan Jagga, or a sacrifice to annihilate all the snakes. So a huge fire was lit in that sacrifice. The sacrificial fire was a huge pit of fire, and the brahmanas started to chant mantra. And due to the potency of the mantra, the snakes started flying in from all directions and getting burnt in that fire. So in this way, all the snakes from all over, actually snakes are there in different planets also. Takshak actually resides in the heavenly planet. He is a friend of Indra. So Takshak was the main culprit, so he wanted to destroy Takshak. And Takshak also, being attracted by the potency of the mantra, came flying towards the thing, towards the sacrificial fire, and Indra actually intervened. Indra tried to stop the untimely death of his friend, and then all the great sages approached Janmajaya and requested him to stop that sacrifice. They explained to him that Takshak is not to be blamed, and because of Takshak's mistake, the entire snake family should not be punished. Because of one person's mistake, the whole family should not be persecuted or punished. So, and they explained that even Takshak is not to be blamed, because it is Sringi who actually cursed. The brahmana boy, Sringi, cursed Parikshit Maharaj, his father, that he would die by the bite, being bitten by Takshak. So, it was actually his fault that he cursed. Takshak didn't develop any enmity, but it was the brahmana's curse which actually forced Takshak to bite Parikshit Maharaj. And then they explained that even Sringi shouldn't be blamed, because it is the course of destiny. It is the arrangement of time, and it is actually ultimately it is Krishna's arrangement. And then he was explained that after all, your father left his body, but he didn't die. He is eternally existing. Although he just left his material body. And he is such a great devotee that for him, actually it was Krishna's arrangement. Krishna wanted him to go back to the spiritual sky. So why unnecessarily you are becoming so revengeful, and you are gathering all kinds of unwanted karma for yourself? And then Vasudev actually brought Parikshit Maharaj over there, and Janmajaya could see his father. He could see his father's spiritual form, and then he worshipped both Parikshit Maharaj and Vasudev. So in this way, Janmajaya's story has been explained here by Srila Prabhupada, and this is actually explained in Mahabharata. Also, it has been mentioned here that in that assembly, Vaishampayan actually narrated Mahabharata. This Mahabharata has been narrated by Vaishampayan, and the Mahabharata that we see or that we come across is the Mahabharata by Vaishampayan, who is a disciple of Vasudev. And Vasudev personally described the happenings in the battlefield of Kurukshetra. So, King Parikshit married the daughter of King Utsar and begot four sons headed by Maharaj Janmejay. So this is the story of Parikshit Maharaj. So today also is a festival called the festival of Chiradoi festival, a chip rice and yogurt festival in Panihati. Panihati is a place about 35 kilometers north of Calcutta, on the bank of the Ganges. And this festival commemorates Nityananda Prabhu's accepting Raghunath Das Goswami. And Raghunath Das Goswami is one of the six Goswamis of Vrindavan. Raghunath Das Goswami was the son of a king, a very, very opulent person, born in a very opulent family, and he was the only son in the whole family. And Raghunath Das Goswami came in contact with Haridas Thakur at his early days, and he became attracted to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came back to Shantipur after taking sannyas, probably you all remember, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu decided to go to Vrindavan after taking sannyas. Nityananda Prabhu was with him and Gadadhar Pandit was with him. So Nityananda Prabhu tricked Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became so ecstatic with the prospect of going to Vrindavan that he lost his concept of time and space. So soon after taking sannyas, he started running towards Vrindavan. And then at one point, he saw some cows and cowherd boys. And he felt that was Vrindavan. Just seeing the cow and the cowherd boys, the memories of Vrindavan dawned in his heart. And he thought it was Vrindavan. And Nityananda Prabhu confirmed it. He said, yes, this is Vrindavan. And Nityananda Prabhu pointed out to Ganga and said, this is Jamuna. And Mahaprabhu, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu thought that this mistook Jamuna, mistook Ganga to be Jamuna, and he ran and jumped into the river. And in the meantime, Nityananda Prabhu already sent a message to Advaita Acharya Prabhu, and Advaita Acharya Prabhu was waiting at that spot with a boat and some dry clothes. So as soon as Mahaprabhu jumped into the river, Advaita Acharya approached him with the boat and picked him up on the boat. So seeing Advaita Acharya, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became very surprised. He said, Advaita, how did you come here? Then Advaita Acharya said, well, I mean, my house is on the other side of the river. Actually, this happened in this side of the river Ganges, and Advaita Acharya's house was on the other side of the Ganges in Shantipur. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became very surprised. I said, how come your house is on the other side? He said, yes, it's country, don't you recognize? This is Kalna, and the other side is Shantipur. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas in Katoa, and from Katoa, there is this, north of Katoa is Kalna. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu pointed out that Advaita Acharya Prabhu pointed out to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became very upset. He said, Nityananda tricked me again. And anyway, so Advaita Acharya Prabhu brought him to Shantipur, to his house. And when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to Shantipur, the news reached all around, and Mahaprabhu's devotees from all over came to see him. And at that time, Raghunath Das Goswami also came to see him. It is mentioned in Chaitanya Bhagavat that there were so many people that actually gathered to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that crowd actually broke the wall of Advaita Acharya's house. And then it was a real struggle to keep the crowd off. And Raghunath Das Goswami was a very well-known personality, because his father was a very, very wealthy man. He was a king. It has been described that his father's annual income was 2 million rupees those days. And 2 million rupees meant, those days meant like 1 rupee was, with 1 rupee one could buy 40 kilos of rice. And so we can well imagine the value of 2 million rupees those days. Gold was something like 20 rupees an ounce. Anyway, it's an awful lot of money. And Raghunath Das Goswami's father used to patronize different well-known Vaishnavas and saintly personalities. So in this respect, his father was very well known to Advaita Acharya. And when Advaita Acharya got to know that Raghunath Das Goswami was there, wanted to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he personally brought him to the house. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu offered Raghunath his mercy, showered his mercy upon him by telling him to go back home. Mahaprabhu told him, Markat Boiragya Nakaraho Lok Dakhaya, Jathajogya Bishay Bhunjo Anashakta Hoya. Do not display monkey renunciation, artificial renunciation, just for the sake of showing off to people. Just go back home and accept whatever is necessary for your maintenance and just stay at home. Jathajogya Bishay Bhunjo Anashakta Hoya. So, and then that day, Advaita Acharya actually gave Raghunath Das Goswami Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's remnants. And Raghunath Das Goswami, according to the instructions of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, went back home and became engaged in household activities. He was married to an extremely beautiful princess. It has been described that she was as beautiful as the dancing girl, as an apsara in the heaven. And he had everything that that a man may desire in this material nature. The wealth like that of Kuvera, the beautiful wife like the goddess of fortune, and so much fame and only son in the family. But still Raghunath Das Goswami became detached. Raghunath Das Goswami was not at all attracted to any of these things. His heart was sold out to the lotus feet of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told him to go back home, so what could he do? He went back and he got involved, according to Mahaprabhu's instructions, in his household affairs. But his heart was still at the lotus feet of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And actually his family was so afraid that they had 8 people constantly guarding him. There were 6 guards and 2 brahmanas. They're constantly guarding Raghunath Das Goswami. They're afraid that he may run away. Sometimes he used to run away and they would go and catch him, bring him back. So this time Raghunath Das Goswami got the news that Nityananda Prabhu came to Panihati. So he took that opportunity to have the darshan of Nityananda Prabhu. So he approached Nityananda Prabhu in Panihati. Panihati is, as I mentioned, is north of Calcutta, about 35 kilometers north of Calcutta, on the bank of Ganges. And there is a huge banyan tree. The banyan tree is still existing. And Nityananda Prabhu was sitting under the banyan tree, surrounded by his associates. Nityananda Prabhu's associates are, first circle of Nityananda Prabhu's associates are the 12 Gopals, Dadash Gopal. Nityananda Prabhu is Balaram, and Balaram has 12 most intimate friends in Vrindavan. And then the next circle is 64 Mahantas. And then the greater and greater circle, just as Krishna and Radharani has the circle in Rasa Dance, like Radharani has the 8 gopis in the first circle, then 100 gopis in the second circle. So Nityananda Prabhu was actually also has his circle of friends, and he was surrounded by them. And at that time Raghunath Das Goswami approached him and offered him obeisances from a distance. And at that time someone told Nityananda Prabhu that Raghunath Das is offering obeisances. So Nityananda Prabhu became very excited with the news that Raghunath Das Goswami came to him. So he said, "Oh, where is that thief? Bring that rascal to me." And Raghunath Das Goswami would not come to Nityananda Prabhu. So Nityananda Prabhu said, "See what a big rascal he is. And he is a thief, and now I want to give him punishment. And he is avoiding me. So okay, go and fetch him." So they just went, his associates went and grabbed him. Grabbed Raghunath Das Goswami, brought him to Nityananda Prabhu. And so Raghunath Das Goswami offered obeisances to Nityananda Prabhu. And Nityananda Prabhu placed his lotus feet on his head. And in this way, he gave him the punishment. Dando, another name of this festival is Dando Mahotsav, or festival of, grand festival of punishment. So Nityananda Prabhu, actually Nityananda Prabhu's punishment and Nityananda Prabhu's blessing are non-different. In the spiritual platform, punishment and blessing are the same. Like another associate of Nityananda Prabhu, Nityananda Prabhu's associates also were very strange. Sometimes they would chastise somebody and they would get Krishna prema. Someone would beat somebody with a whip and he would develop ecstasy. So Nityananda Prabhu blessed Raghunath Das Goswami and he gave him the punishment. And the punishment was, Nityananda Prabhu told him that the punishment is that you have to feed me and all my associates with chipped rice and yogurt. So Raghunath Das Goswami immediately accepted that punishment, and so he sent his men to get to purchase yogurt, chipped rice, condensed milk, different types of sweets, and so they went and purchased. And in the meantime, the news reached everywhere that there's a big festival on the bank of the Ganges. So from far distance, the sweetmeat sellers came there carrying all their goods, and Raghunath Das Goswami paid them the price and bought them. And this way there was so much, there was a huge festival, and thousands upon thousands of people came there. So many people came that the whole place became filled up. The land became filled up. When the land became filled up and there was no more place to stand on the land or sit on the land, then people went to the Ganges. And standing on the Ganges and floating in the Ganges, they started to eat the chipped rice. Actually, the preparations were, there was one preparation made of chipped rice, yogurt, bananas, mangoes, mango juice, mango pulp, and different kinds of fruits. And another preparation was made with flaked rice and condensed milk and different kinds of sweet fruits. And on top of this mixture, they put the sweets. So this way everybody got two earthen pots full of this prasad. First the prasadam was served to Nityananda Prabhu and his associates, and then to the brahmanas, and then to the guests. Like, there were thousands upon thousands of people who came. And this festival still goes on, and actually we, ISKCON organizes this festival in Panihati, and every year we feed about 30 to 40,000 people, the same preparation. And there are queues, there are actually so many people, you can't serve them all at a time, so they stand on a queue. And the prasad distribution goes on from 12 o'clock till 6, 7, 8 o'clock at night, in the evening. And so today is the Panihati Chirade festival, and this is the festival of Nityananda Prabhu accepting Raghunath Das Goswami. So after Nityananda Prabhu blessed Raghunath Das Goswami, then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted him. Oh yeah, another thing is, during the festival, Nityananda Prabhu invited Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to come. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came there personally. And they picked up, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu picked up some prasad from, everybody could see that Mahaprabhu is picking up some prasad from the earthen pot that everyone got, and he offered to Nityananda Prabhu. And Nityananda Prabhu also picked up some and offered it to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So this way, they went from person to person and accepted prasad, accepted the offering from every plate, every person. Not that everyone saw, it doesn't describe that those who are fortunate could see Nityananda Prabhu and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu together. And another in the importance of this place, Panihati, is that this is the place of Raghav Pandit. Raghav Pandit was another very intimate associate of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Raghav Pandit was very fond of feeding Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Raghav Pandit's sister was a very expert cook, and she used to cook for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Damayanti Devi used to cook for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So that day, Nityananda Prabhu had a feast in Raghav Pandit's house in the evening also. Raghav Pandit actually became upset that they were having a feast in the morning, a feast during the day, and he was upset that Nityananda Prabhu will not eat very much in his house. So he actually dragged Nityananda Prabhu to his house to the feast. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu blessed Raghav Pandit that he would always be there in his house. Raghav Pandit's house is one of the three places where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is always residing. And so after Nityananda Prabhu blessed Raghunath Das Goswami, then Raghunath Das Goswami went back home, and soon after that he ran away from the house and went to Jagannath Puri. And there he met Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But this time Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted him. Some say that that this actually indicates that one cannot approach Chaitanya Mahaprabhu without approaching Nityananda Prabhu. Raghunath Das Goswami, when he approached Chaitanya Mahaprabhu directly, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't accept him. But when he came via Nityananda Prabhu, then Mahaprabhu accepted him. Hano Nitai Bine Bhai Radha Krishna Paite Nai. Without the mercy of Nityananda Prabhu, one cannot get Radha Krishna. And who is Radha Krishna? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is none other than Radha Krishna together. So without Nityananda Prabhu's mercy, one cannot receive Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy. And who is Nityananda Prabhu? Nityananda Prabhu is the original spiritual master. So this is the indication that one must approach Radha Krishna, one must approach Chaitanya Mahaprabhu through his bona fide representative. Hare Krishna, all glory is to Srila Prabhupada. Does anybody have any comment or question? Yes. I see. Yeah. Actually, Atlanta temple is called New Panihati. And Jayakataka Maharaj, who is very fond of Mahaprabhu and his festival, established this Panihati Chirade festival as an annual event of Atlanta temple. And how many devotees came? How many people were distributed? Oh, that's wonderful. I spoke to Calcutta yesterday. Actually, in Calcutta, the festival was yesterday. There's 9 hours difference. So, the preparations are all made very nicely. Many devotees from Mayapur came to help the festival. And today I'll get in touch with them again, find out how it went. Usually I stay there in Panihati Chiravi festival, but since last 2 years I couldn't do that due to different responsibilities. Yes, Mahadhuti Prabhu?
Why are you
Because Nityananda Prabhu is the original servant, the first servant of Krishna. And also Nityananda Prabhu is the origin, or Balaram is the origin of all living entities. So when the living entities go back to the spiritual sky, they have to go back via Nityananda Prabhu or Balaram or the expansion. Like in Vrindavan, the living entities are expansions of Nityananda, Balaram. In Vaikuntha, living entities are expansions of Shankarshan. And the living entities in the material nature are expansion of Karanadukshay Vishnu, which are actually non-different, those who are non-different from Nityananda Prabhu or Balaram himself. So when you go back, you have to go back through where you came from. Therefore the living entities goes back. I mean, Nityananda Prabhu is the original shelter. And he is the person who engages everyone into Krishna's service. Because he is the original servant, everybody must become engaged in Krishna's service through him or through his representatives. Any other? Yes, Madhu Jagaran. There are two living entities, the conditioned souls who come to the material nature do not directly also come from Karanadakshaya Vishnu. They actually come from Mahadev. It is Lord Shiva who actually impregnates the material nature with the conditioned souls. So before one goes back to Vaikuntha, has to go back through Lord Shiva. And it has been, it has been explained that the living entities in the material nature come from Karanadakshaya Vishnu. But I do not know how they go back through Karanadakshaya Vishnu. But we have to understand that the Karanadakshaya Vishnu again is the origin of the super soul, and the spiritual master is the representative of the super soul or the expansion of the super soul. So one goes back to the spiritual sky through the via medium of the spiritual master, who is the representative of Karanadakshaya Vishnu. Yes, Rati Manjari? Yeah. Another place is Mother Sachi's house. And the third one, if I'm not mistaken, is wherever the Sankirtan is. Does anybody remember these three places? The third place? Huh. Oh, yeah. Question is, I mentioned that in Mahaprabhu is always present in three different places. One is in Raghapandi's house. Wherever Nityananda Prabhu dances, yeah, Sankirtan. Right. Yeah. Yeah, the third one is wherever Nityananda Prabhu dances, or wherever the Sankirtan is. Yes. Takshak actually reasoned with Kashyap that although you can actually revive Parikshit from my bite, but you can't actually defeat the curse of a Brahmana. So because it is the curse of a Brahmana, it's bound to happen. And you see, the sages actually explained it in that way, that there is no reason harboring this kind of enmity towards Kashyap, towards Daksha, because it all happened by the arrangement of providence. You see, in the material nature, things happen as a result of the karmic reactions. Like, we do not want to get into, we do not actually basically want to become inimical to us others, but our karma actually forces us to conflict with each other. So whatever conflict we are noticing in between Takshak and Parikshit, or Takshak towards Parikshit, is just a result of the karmic reaction. But beyond the karma is actually Krishna.
In one sense, it's not conceivable from our linear perspective to tend to think of everything as gains and blessings and
anything. Right.
And even in the material world, a person is born from the womb of his mother, but that's not where he comes from.
Prabhupada himself also mentioned very specifically that don't worry about where you came from. Be concerned about where you have to go back. Right? I mean, why waste your time just figuring out, you know, where you came from? I mean, it doesn't matter where you came from, but now you are here in this material nature, you are miserable, you are suffering. I mean, try to get out of here as soon as possible. And Narayan Maharaj also made a very nice comment on this topic. He said, why do you have to come up with the most difficult points? Like, I mean, most complex topics. you always deal with the most complex topics, but spiritual life is very simple. You do not, I mean, what's the point in, you know, sort of arguing about this? It doesn't matter. Now we are in a material nature. And personally, I feel whatever Prabhupada said,